The session is called to order. I will first of all like to ask Mr. Changai how he's feeling this morning. We followed with a lot of concern your health problems. We hope you have recuperated. Yes, I have recuperated, and I would like to thank the tribunal for its concern. Thank you. Prosecutor, are we in a position to continue with our hearing?
Yes, we are.
Okay. How? What do you propose at this tribunal?
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. Just briefly, before we begin with witness KK, I see, or at least I have received, a copy of a motion written by the defense pursuant to 90 bis. In my hand, I have a letter from the Ministry of Justice of Rwanda addressing the questions that the chamber had, and I'd like to hand this over to the tribunal.
I have the same.
Ah, okay.
It's confidential.
Thank you. And the people in Kigali stand ready upon the issuance of the chamber's orders to bring the necessary people. One last matter that I need to bring to the attention of the trial chamber is that our existing witnesses here for the prosecution have expressed some concern that their prolonged absence from Rwanda may draw some suspicion in their home communities. And they asked me to ask the chamber if there's any way that we could expedite the process by either sitting a full day today or a few hours over the weekend. Thank you.
Do the interpreters have a problem? Well, the registry did not inform me that there was a new interpreter who had to be sworn in. I think that's...
Okay.
I, the undersigned, hereby solemnly declare to perform faithfully, independently, impartially, and with full respect for the duty of confidentiality, my duties as interpreter for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, pursuant to Rule 76 of the Rules of Procedure and Evidence.
Ask the interpreter to tell us his name. He has undersigned, but we don't know who has signed. What is his name?
Okay.
The prosecutor, I'll give the floor once again.
Good morning, Your Honors. We would like to call witness KK.
Sorry, the prosecutor made an observation to which I would like to react. I know that the week was difficult. We are behind time for reasons beyond our control. But you are asking us to seat today and maybe even tomorrow. We are willing to do so. But I think we should ask the various parties to be concise and speak to the point. The examinations in chief and cross-examinations should not be unduly long. In fact, if we all make an effort, we are willing to sit today and tomorrow. The prosecutor, you have the floor.
Okay.
Mr. Changai, since everything would now be rapid in pursuant to Article Rule 90, we're only waiting for your request to call for the witness. I've already submitted my request. When did you submit it to the registry? This morning. Today, we will try to hold a short session, on Monday morning. When did you say you... Well, prosecutor, do you think... Suppose that we issue an order on Monday. On what date can the witness be here?
Marty, can he be here?
Yes.
Oh. Good. Very good.
As soon as we receive the order, we'll fax it to Kigali, and they'll pick up the people.
We can see it this afternoon. If you receive the motion, this morning, we can see it. Exceptionally. For the hearing.
Okay.
No, it's surprising. Sometimes I speak English.
Therefore, witness KK, good morning. Good morning, Mr. President. In fact, I use the letters KK. In fact, in French, this doesn't sound very well. You have been asked to come and give testimony by the prosecutor. Before the prosecutor begins his examination in chief, the witness is going to make a solemn declaration. The interpreter knows how this is done, so I will call on the witness to rise, to raise the right hand, and to repeat after me, after a translation into Kinyarwanda. I assume that you speak Kinyarwanda. Yes, I will be speaking in Kinyarwanda. I solemnly declare that I will speak the truth, that I will speak the truth, the whole truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and nothing but the truth. I call on the witness to sit down. I will, as is done with all other witnesses, I would like to give out some advice. The first is that she should speak without fear. She is not the accused. It doesn't hurt. The tribunal will not intimidate or harass her. In advance, she has made a solemn declaration. She has undertaken to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Therefore, she should speak without fear, nor without taking sides. That is the reason why I'm here, says the witness. Yes, the press has spoken well. So on that note, I'll give the floor to the prosecutor. Thank you.
Good morning, witness KK.
Good morning.
1994.
I was living in Rwanda in the Taba commune.
Do you remember hearing about the crash of the plane in early April 1994?
I heard mention of it. I was at home.
After the crash,
people started going on the hill. Those called the Hutus were in groups, and they said that Habyarimana had been killed by the Nkotanyis.
What happened to you? Did you stay at home after hearing this news?
People started running out, pursuing the Tutsis. And my husband was Tutsi.
What about you? Are you considered a Tutsi?
I am Hutu.
So did you stay at home after they started pursuing Tutsis?
People started looting, or destroying and looting our homes.
Was your home looted or destroyed?
Yes.
And where did you go after your home was destroyed?
We sought refuge on the summits of the hills.
Who was with you?
I was with my husband, my children, and all the Tutsis whose houses were being destroyed.
How many children did you have?
I had 9 children.
Okay. How long did you stay in the woods?
We spent a night in the woods.
And where did you go from there?
From there, we went to our commune, the Taba commune.
Why did you decide to go to the Bureau Communal?
It is Because we felt that that was where the authority who could defend us was found.
And who went with you to the Bureau Communal?
I was with my husband and my children and other peasants whose houses had been destroyed.
Okay. Can you please describe what you first saw when you arrived at the Bureau Communal?
When we reached the Bureau Communal, there we found other peasants who told us that their houses also had been destroyed. When we became many, our burgmaster came where we were many, and he asked us why we came so many at the Bureau Communal. We replied him that our houses had been looted and destroyed, that we did not know where to live or even where to go to. And that was why we thought we should seek refuge at the Bureau Communal so that he should be able to help us, the Burgmaster.
Who was the Burgmaster at the time?
The Burgmaster was Caesu Jean-Paul.
Do you know Jean-Paul Akayesu?
I knew him.
How long have you known him?
I knew him when he was a teacher, and I knew him when he was Burgmaster.
Okay. At this time, I would like you to stand up and look around the room and tell me if you see Jean-Paul Akayesu here today.
I have seen him. He is there. He is wearing a black coat. Is he the one or he's not the one? Am I mistaken? Is he not the one? She only has to stand up and say whether she has recognized him and the clothes he's wearing. If she has seen him well, what clothes is he wearing? She has to stand up and describe his garments. He's wearing a black coat. I do not know what he's wearing on his ears. He has a white shirt on and a tie.
Record to reflect that the witnesses identified the accused. Now, when you arrived at the Bureau Communal, did you see any police of the commune?
Yes, there were some police.
And when you referred to the people at the Bureau Communal, do you know what their ethnicity was?
Those persons were saying that our houses had been destroyed because we were Tutsis.
Okay. Was there ever a roadblock at the Bureau Communal?
There was a roadblock. The Burgmaster had given orders to his policemen to build a roadblock.
Okay. Where was the roadblock?
The roadblock was in front of the entrance into the Bureau Communal on the road.
Now, you said the Burgmaster gave orders to set up a roadblock. Did you hear Akayesu give these orders?
He gave that order because when he gave it, he was standing in front of the refugees where we were.
And when was this? Had killing started at this time?
He had not started killing.
Okay. Do you remember what he said when he gave the orders to set up the roadblock?
I remember that he told the police that they should ask people to present their identity cards.
Did he say anything else?
He said that the Tutsis should not be allowed to pass, that they should be put aside.
And where were you when he said this?
We were standing where he found us, where we had sought refuge. He found us there when he gave that order.
Can you describe where you were seeking refuge?
We had sought refuge at the Bureau Communal, and some persons went to meet him in his office to tell him that our houses had been destroyed, and he drove them away. The people went close to the road. When he gave those orders, he was not in his office. It was on the road that he gave the orders.
Were the refugees in the compound or were they outside near the road?
It was outside the compound of the Bureau Communal. People were not allowed to come into the compound of the Bureau Communal.
What happened next?
They started asking for identity cards. There was a place where the Tutsis were put, and the police beat the refugees.
Who was at the roadblock? I mean, who was working at the roadblock?
It was the police. As for the buckmaster, he was moving among the refugees, looking at them.
What happened to Hutus who came to the roadblock?
Most Hutus who passed were those who came from Kigali running away from the war which had broken out there. When they saw that it was a Hutu and that he was not going far, he was asked to continue and to go home. The person had to go further. It was said that he had no problem, that he was going to be housed. And it was accepted that he enter the premises or the compound of the Bureau Communal. At that time, it was raining and a Tutsi was not allowed to have shelter. They were wet or drenched by the rain on the road and they were beaten.
How frequently were the refugees who were Tutsi beaten?
They were beaten often because it was said that they were the cause of Abiyarimana's death.
And who did the beating?
It was the police and Akayesu who was found there, supervising them. He was there. He's the one who asked the roadblock to be set up to prevent people from passing.
And what about the Hutus? How were they treated?
A Hutu who was a normal passerby, when he was asked his ID and it was realized that he was Hutu, he was allowed to pass.
Even refugees
from Kigali could prepare food and eat. There was not a single Tutsi who could have any food. And it was not considered that a human being could live on food. Hutus were not allowed to be with the Tutsis outside. They did not allow them to go into the inside the commune.
So where were the Hutus?
The Hutus were there, were those who had come from Kigali and who had taken refuge there. And these are the people who made people who explained the bad acts of the Nkotanyis. And Kayesu was said to the police that these people were accomplices of the Nkotanyis and they should be beaten hard and that they should not be allowed, a Tutsi should not be allowed to take shelter.
Okay. In the early days before the killing started, were you able to leave the Bureau Communal to search for food?
We were not able to leave this place.
Did the atmosphere at the Bureau Communal change at some point?
The atmosphere changed. There were interamois who came from Remera. They brought documents that they read, and they read these documents in front of the refugees, and they had called in Akayesu from the commune, and they wanted to explain, to make people understand to the refugees the meanness of the refugees. They were saying that the Tutsis had a plan to kill the Hutus, and that they had succeeded in their plan, that they had killed them in a very cruel way, but our God is not far. He understood this plan, and where they were going to put them. The burgomaster went to his office. When he came back, he was very angry and he had a document in his hand. And he read the documents saying, we were living with the Tutsis. There was hatred between us. The inspector of the IPJ Karangwa, Ephraim, had planned to kill us. so that he can replace me as Bourgmestre. Now we should pursue them and find them all. You went on to say there is a mine which exploded at a primary school, which had been planted by Tutsi, and that was the beginning of the killings which they had planned for the Tutsis and for the Hutus. And in this school, there were students of all kinds of ethnic groups. When the explosion took place, it was intended for all the Rwandans.
Where was Akayesu when he said all of this?
He was in front of us, the place where we were taking refuge.
Was that near the road in front of the Bureau Communal?
It was outside of the commune compound, in front of the commune and near the road.
What happened next?
He said that there was a lot of accomplices in our commune. There is an accomplice who is behind the commune called Chassis. He was a teacher. He told the police people to go find this person.
And when you say he, to whom are you referring?
Akayesu.
What did the police do?
They went to get this gentleman with his wife. It was raining. They made him sit down in the mud with his wife. And they asked him, tell us the secret of the Nkotanyas.
Where did they bring Tharsis and his wife?
They killed Tharsis, as his wife had a little baby. Some people said they felt sorry for this woman. They took off her clothes. They told her to go and die somewhere else, that she could not spend the night in their commune. So she left to go somewhere else, because there were roadblocks all over the place.
Where exactly was Tharsis killed?
He was killed near the commune, near eucalyptus trees.
And did you see this killing?
Yes, I saw that because we were still there.
Where was Akayesu during this killing?
He was standing near. The victim was sitting.
Did he say anything while the killing was taking place?
He only asked Tharsis the secrets of the Nkotanyas, and Tharsis answered that he could do what he wanted because he didn't know the secrets.
Did you see any other killings that day?
The Bourgmestre also gave orders to go bring the teachers who were teaching in Remera. And he was said that in the educated people who were the origin of all these problems.
And did you see people leave to get teachers?
Yes, Interamwes left in a very angry mood, and we saw them come back with these teachers.
And did you see what happened to the teachers?
They would bring them and force them to sit in the mud, and they were told that they were going to be put where the teachers wanted to put these people.
They were told to sit in the mud. Is this still at the Bureau Communal?
It was on the road where Tharsis had been killed.
And then what happened?
They said that they had been found with a talkie-walkie, and they were communicating with Nkotanyas.
Were these teachers killed?
They started by killing the young, and who had been brought with his fiancée, and they were about to get married.
How were they killed?
They were hit with with clubs, and is said, if they use with a bullet, it would be a good death. Correction, good way of killing them. Could you repeat the interpretation in French? That means they died a good death. Contradiction when you say killing them well, and it's in French, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Where was Aka in these killings?
He was walking around among the refugees and supervising the police people who were beating the refugees. He was not. He was often standing at the commune, in front of the commune.
Were all the teachers killed on the spot, or did some die later?
At the time, I tried to leave the commune, Bureau Communal, because I came from a place which was not far from the Bureau Communal. If I had heard that they were pursuing all Tutsis, I tried to find a place to hide my children.
Did the teachers die at the place where they had been beaten? The teachers from Romero Rucoma?
Yes, they were killed near, on the road, in front of the entrance to the Bureau Communal. There are trees around in that area. They were not killed, they were exactly killed. They were put in a mass grave, and they were killed slowly.
Excuse me, Your Honor, the defendant is raising his hand.
And she explained the way the people were buried, but she has never talked about a mass grave. I think it's the translator who added the mass grave. She said that you were buried in a strange manner, and she used in Kinyarwanda, I can't translate the exact Kinyarwanda word, when you dig with a hole and that you have a gisindi. So that means it's some amount of dirt, the dimensions of which are proportional to the hole. But she said these pieces of were on the bodies. She has never talked about a grave. And I heard in the translation, a grave. This is what we're going to do. Since you talked in French and she doesn't understand French, we are going to re-ask the question. So you can reinterpret the question. We're going to ask the question one time. How were the teachers killed? They started with a young man. They did not use bullets. They used hoes or clubs. This young man had a fiancé. He was about to get married. The interarmers who were there said they were going to take away this woman and marry her. And she answered that instead of being taken as a wife by this interim, she preferred to be killed with her fiancé. I did not see the number of teachers who were killed. They were killed with small hoes. You were hit very hard. Nobody could ask to be saved because Tutsis did not have a right to live. Were they killed? Were they put in a grave? Where were they put? When they what killed them, they put them in a grave, but it was not exactly a grave, but they were covered with the pieces a little dirt. The witness can speak the way she wants, but I noted what she said. She has been rather lengthy. She's intelligent, but I can only talk about what she said. I should say, what she said. What did she just say? You asked a question. She spoke in Kinyarwanda. What do you conclude from that? She said they were put in a dirty place, and on top of them they put a little dirt, as I said a minute ago. Okay, so we have understood. We can go on.
Were they dead or alive when they were buried?
When they were brought, it was possible that they were still breathing, and they were taken on a wheelbarrow. And like the witness just said, you said when they were dead, they were buried. Were they buried alive? We need to be clear. When they were being taken away, we could see they were still breathing. They were not exactly dead, because the killers would say it would be a nice, smooth death. I think there's a contradiction when you said a minute ago that they were, when they died, they were covered with dirt. Now you said they were not dead. We can go on.
After the killings began, what did you decide to do with your children?
After they killed these people, I tried to leave the place, because nobody could leave. I went to the place where I was born to try and hide my children.
What did your husband do?
But I'd come back to the commune every once in a while. He had been beaten at that place, at the Bureau Communal. He had been injured on the head, but he was still alive. When they were taking care of the others, he took a chance to escape. He went to hide in a field, a sorghum field.
Did you ever see your husband again?
Yes, I did see him again.
What were the circumstances?
When he was found, since there was an order to look everywhere in the bushes and in the sorghum fields, there were even dogs taking part in the chase. He was found. He asked them for mercy, because he knew that we Hutu women, we should not be killed. And he sent me a message asking these people to have pardon on and let him speak to his wife before he died. I went and found him where they had been put behind the Bureau Communal. It was Interamis who had him, and they were armed with clubs and spears. And they said to him to talk to his wife quickly. When I saw him, I started to cry. And he contained himself, since he was a man. And he said he was going to be taken away. He was taken between the two buildings of the Bureau Communal. I left immediately. And afterwards, people came and said he had just been killed.
Did you ever see Interahamwe heading towards a primary school?
Yes, I saw them.
Where were you?
I was standing near the road and near the Bureau Communal. I was moving about to know whether peace had been restored and also to know whether killings had stopped. I saw them when they were going to the school, and they said they saw a gentleman called Kuva Kukunda, who was a teacher at that school and who came on Sundays, whereas there were no lessons to be taught. And they said that maybe that gentleman had documents that he kept in his classroom. They also said that they knew very well that that gentleman was going to Kininira, and that he was the one who brought together the Tutsis in the Taba commune so as to make collections that he was going to transfer to the Inkotanyis.
Did you see the Interahamwe come out of the primary school?
The school is found at a place where you can see clearly. I saw them.
Did they have anything with them in their hands when they came out of the primary school?
They returned with papers and documents in their hands, and they said that these are the documents which had been hidden by Rukunda Kuvaga in the classroom, and that he had written down the names of young Hutu males with whom killings were going to begin. They called names, they headed for the Bureau Communal, and I followed them, and they read everything in the presence of those who were there. The Buckmaster was also standing at the Bureau Communal.
What did Akayesu do?
He said that he knew the commune where Rukunda Kuvuga had sought refuge.
And then what happened?
It was said that he was going to become minister or prefect. The Buckmaster became angry. He took a vehicle. He told the Interahamwes to get on the vehicle and to go and look for him where he had sought refuge. I suppose that was to go and look for Rukunda Kuvuga.
About what time of day was this, if you recall?
At that time, I had lost my mind. When you are called and you are told that your husband is going to be killed, and when you are moving left and right in the woods with your children, you cannot know the time nor the day. In fact, I could not know what hour of the day it was.
Do you remember whether it was in the morning or in the afternoon or at night?
I remember that during daytime, I had to move about so as to know what the situation was exactly. I left the children where they were and I moved in the commune because I was a native of an area which was close to the Bureau Communal. And I witnessed all that was done.
Did you ever hear Akayesu mention Rukunda Kuvuga again?
Yes, I heard him when he said that the gentleman was going to become a Buckmaster or rather minister or prefect. He also told them that he knew where the gentleman had sought refuge in another commune. That gentleman had not sought refuge in his own commune.
But after Akayesu left that day with the Interahamwe, did you ever see him later at another time when he mentioned Rukunda Kuvuga?
They came back in the same vehicle and they said that the only enemy was the Tutsi. They said that they hoped that since they had been able to find Rukunda Kuvuga, they were also going to find the others. They said that they had found him in another commune and that they had just killed him in their own commune, the Taba commune, in a forest located at a place called Kanyinya, and that they were going to leave his body so that it would be eaten up by birds, and that anyone who would make an attempt to bury him would be punished. It was a Toyota with a red collar.
And who was in the vehicle?
There were many Interahamwes and a certain Kubimana and Rutuku, a certain Francois, a certain Zabamuita, another Habarumima, a certain Bongo, and many others. These are the people whom I was able to recognize.
Was Akayesu in the vehicle?
Yes. He was in the front seat of the vehicle.
After your husband was killed, did you ever go to Akayesu to ask for help for your children?
Yes. I went to meet him in the compound of the Bureau Communal. He was with the counselor of our sector. I told him, Mr. Buckmaster, I can see that the killings are continuing here and that my house had been destroyed, that I did not have any place to put my children because where they were often driven away. And I asked him to give me an attestation that would enable my children to be able to stay alive. He replied me saying that it was not me, it was not him who made them to be born Tutsi, and that when rats are killed, you don't spare rats that are still in the form of a fetus. Our counselor replied me saying that even if I were a woman of their ethnic group, the counselor told me that I was married by a Tutsi. I cannot know the genealogy of the children.
Were you pregnant at that time?
I was pregnant at the time.
What happened to your baby?
Once the Interahamwe and the police beat me, saying that my husband had gone to Kenya learning how to use the gun. They told me to reveal the secrets that my husband had obtained from Kinyihira. I aborted because I was not feeling very well throughout that time.
Do you mean you miscarried?
Yes, I miscarried. Abortion is a voluntary act, miscarriage is not. That is the difference. Did she miscarry or she aborted? Did she miscarry or she aborted? I put the question to the witness again. I miscarried because I was being beaten and I was living in the fields on the rain.
Do you know Pierre and Terry?
Yes, I knew him.
For help, did you see Terry?
Yes, I saw him when he was brought. His leg was broken.
Who was bringing him?
It was the Interahamwe.
And where were they bringing him?
They brought him to the commune, Bureau Communal.
Where was Akayesu?
He was at the Bureau Communal. The Interahamwe called for him, telling him that the king who was going to become president, we have just taken him away.
And what did Akayesu do?
He said that such a person should not be killed immediately. He said that it was necessary for him to reveal the secrets of the Nkotanyis first of all. They preferred putting him in prison first of all.
Where were you when Akayesu said this?
I was there at the Bureau Commune. It was at a time when I came to ask for an attestation for the children. When I realized that Ntereye had been brought, I stayed to see what was going to happen.
And what happened to Ntereye that day?
He was put in prison on that day.
Did you see Ntereye again?
Since I was moving constantly, waiting for an order for the killings to stop, at some time In point, I saw Akaesu before a policeman opened the door of the prison where Ntereye was locked up. They opened the door. Akaesu stood in front of the door and asked, "So far, you have not revealed the secrets of the Nkotanyis." The other person kept quiet. He said nothing.
What happened next?
Akaesu dragged Ntereye out of the prison and said that he should be taken to where his relatives were. He was surrounded by people and he said that Ntereye knew everything and that even what a cock could say, Ntereye was aware of it. That Ntereye was very intelligent and that he was the second most intelligent person of Rwanda. They took him away immediately. He could not walk. He was dragged along. I left and I learned from other persons that Ntereye had also been killed.
When Akaesu took Ntereye out of the prison, to whom did he give Ntereye?
He delivered him to the Interahamwes who were present and who had the responsibility or the task of killing.
Were these Interahamwe armed?
Yes, they were armed. They had clubs, spears, swords, grenades, and some of them even had guns.
Did you ever attend a meeting held by Akaesu?
Yes.
This meeting. How did you learn about the meeting?
They had loudspeakers on vehicles and they were driving in the streets and saying there was going to be a meeting. That it was a meeting about security and everyone should be there. And so we went to see if there was going to be peace. My children were still alive. And I was thinking they were probably going to kill them. So I went to the meeting.
Do you remember approximately when this meeting was held?
I remember the burgomaster was standing up to speak. He said, "Thank you because you came to this meeting. But I would like to make you to understand you should pursue the Tutsis wherever they are because they're still in hiding. There are young people who have taken the habit to marry Tutsi women. We do not accept that these people keep these women except for a Tutsi woman who had gotten married before 1959 or in the 50s. If we find that someone with a woman like that, the person would be punished. And we could even destroy their houses because this person will have become the accomplice of the Tutsis. And there is even a proverb which says, when a snake is rolled up around a gourd, you need to hit it. Even if you need to break the gourd."
Did anyone else speak?
Uwimana Silas spoke after Akaesu.
And what did he say?
What I remember him saying, that we can exterminate all the Tutsis, so that a Hutu child knows. May not know what a Tutsi looks like. And also that in a Hutu woman who was pregnant from a Tutsi, you have the obligation to open the womb of this woman and remove the baby because the Rijima who was causing us problems had left in the wombs of their mothers and on the backs of their mothers.
Did anyone else speak?
The other person who spoke was the person who was a deputy, who was called Ruvugama.
Oh, him saying.
I remember him saying the following. We are saying to you, kill the Tutsis, and those of you take the liberty to keep them. The Nkotanyis are very close to us. It's like they had conquered the country. I can even touch them with my hands. If you do not pursue them and kill them, all of them, they do not kill the people. In a good way, they open people's wombs. I am close to Nyabarongo, and I am going to go to this river to commit suicide.
Do you remember in what month this meeting was held?
And I lost my mind at the time. I remember it was in May. Even those who were in hiding, there was an order saying those who were hiding people were going to have their houses destroyed and they were going to pay a fine. And those people hiding people became afraid and they chased away the people they had been hiding.
And where was this meeting held?
Its meeting was held in a place called Murkijiramo in Kijavu. That's where the whole meeting took place. And still, that's where we hold meetings.
Do you know a person named Chantal?
There was a girl called Chantal. She was a student in secondary school. They found her after this meeting, especially because people who were hiding others started to be afraid after the meeting. We met behind the Bureau Communal because I would be walking around. I didn't have a specific place to stay. And I met interahamwes and policemen who had been to get this person. This child was telling them, I am a Hutu and I even have an ID card where it says, I'm Hutu. Please have mercy, don't kill me. So they took him to the Bureau Communal. When they took a person to the whole population would come and look. So I also went with the people, with the peasants. And the interamers said, they would take him to the burgomaster so that they can explain. The burgomaster came in the courtyard where this child had been brought. This child showed him his ID card and told him, I am Hutu, but they're going to kill me. And the burgomaster said, your father was a teacher and I knew him. Your father is Tutsi and he has been killed. How come you are Hutu whereas your father was Tutsi?
What happened next?
So he immediately told the interahamwes, this girl was a student. She knows gymnastics. Please undress him so she can do gymnastics naked. The interahamwes undressed her. She did gymnastics amidst them in the courtyard. She was naked.
Can you explain what you mean by gymnastics?
She was told to walk as the witness is walking in the courtyard.
How far away was Akayezu while Chantal was walking?
She had been placed in the middle. There were people on either side. And people in Akayezu was standing on one side. And she was doing gymnastics right in the middle, where there was with the people on either side of her.
I'm sorry, could you show me again what you mean by gymnastics? I saw you stand up briefly, but I didn't see exactly what you were doing.
She was naked, and she was being told to walk like the way, like I'm walking.
For the record, the witness was swinging her arms straight and demonstrating something that appeared to be like a march. What was Akayesu while Chantal was marching?
Akayesu was laughing and was happy to see, be watching the scene.
And how many people were standing around while Chantal was doing this exercise?
There were a lot of people, because even the population would come to watch, and they were also Interahamwe's. Afterwards, Akayesu told the Interahamwe's to take her away, and I told you, you should, first of all, make sure that you sleep with this girl. They took her away. They took her between the houses, in front of the Bureau Communal, the place below the place where they used to kill people, near the trees. And I left. Afterwards, I heard that the Interahamwe's were mean people who sleep with the person and kill the person afterwards.
Did you ever see any other instances of sexual violence near the Bureau Communal?
Sometimes you would see them take girls away. They would select them, women and girls. There was a house which was under construction. It was a cultural center. They would take them to this house saying they were going to sleep with these women, with these girls.
When you say they, to whom are you referring?
It was the Interahamwe's who would take them away, would select them and take them away.
And did you see anything else in the area of the Bureau Communal involving women?
Near the Bureau Communal, the situation was serious because people were being pursued, and even a peasant was in a sorghum field, because I was hiding in that sorghum fields and with my children. This peasant would pursue you saying, I think you have heard the burgomaster's order, do not cause me problems so that my house is not destroyed. Or I woke up early in the morning so that I can hide in a different sector. I passed on a road. It was near a place called Kiriamu, Kinyovu. When I arrived, they had just killed a woman and a man. And the woman was still in agony. She was not exactly dead. The Interahamwe's had pieces of wood. They were sticking this piece of wood in her sexual organs.
Was the woman still alive at that time?
She was still alive. She was still breathing, but it seems like later on she died.
Do you know who this woman was?
I did not know her, but it was said that she was the wife of Gehazi.
And do you know if she was a Tutsi?
It was said that she was Tutsi.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you. I said the tribunal closes at 2 o'clock on Friday. I was asking Maître Shanghai if he wanted to start his cross-examination, or does he want to do it later on? He asked me to adjourn for 10 minutes. I am going to consult with the judges. What we are going to do is adjourn. We'll come back here at 3 o'clock. First of all, we will take your motion quickly, and then we'll continue the cross-examination of the witness. The session is adjourned, which starts at 3 o'clock.